This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
The commercials are over.
Dude, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
It's that time, Sports Daily, getting all the inside information on the Kansas Jayhawks. Let's go now to the KU football and basketball beat writer from the Kansas City Star, Shreyas Latta.
And welcome in, everybody. Welcome back in. We are glad to have Shreyas in. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. Get out there, check out the golf, these cool, crisp mornings. Sunny, nice afternoons. This is as good as it gets. They got 36 holes of golf for you there. Great restaurant, great clubhouse, all kinds of good, you know, clothes and stuff in the pro shop. Maybe a good Hawaiian shirt, which we still can't get Shreyas to participate in.
Wow,
for some Shreyas. Reason.
Come on,
but
come on.
But they got you covered out there at Crestview. We appreciate their support. Get out there and tell them we sent you here from Sports Daily. Shreyas, we look like we're ready to celebrate here in our beautiful attire, but we are not when it comes to KU football. Between that and probably the strangest college football game I can remember in a very long time for K-State out at BYU, this dream season that we've had a really tough weekend. And for KU, it's been a really tough month. I don't even know what to say other than, is this thing still salvageable, do you think?
That is a very, very good question. I think every week that they are going to break the streak of losing, they somehow managed to lose in a way that it confuses me even more. I mean, they blew an 11-point lead in 5 minutes in the fourth quarter. That's the third straight game that they lost in a go-ahead fourth-quarter touchdown. If you're a Kansas fan, I would probably be losing my mind. And as a writer, I'm losing my mind because I have no idea what's going to happen half the time in the games. And whatever you're writing, you can throw it out the window, takeaways and all. Is it salvageable? I think it is salvageable in the sense that the idea of a Big 12 championship is probably out of the window. But can you get a positive record above 500 and win a bowl game? I think that is still in the window. The way they've lost these games obviously has been the worst part. I think just inability to close fourth quarters, inability to close leads, giving up touchdowns at the end of first halves that have been, kind of backbreaking and kind of, balloon into the second half. It's weird because this team is older and a lot of the mistakes that are out there happening on the field doesn't feel like it an older team should be making. And I think ultimately the perception, like, Lance has said, and he continues to say it's a long season, but it is a long season, but we're week five. It's week five right now.
Yeah.
They have Arizona State next week after this week, and then they have a bye week, their first bye week. So we're getting to a point where it's a long season is about to be, well, there's not that many games left. They have to start winning. I think that's the simple solution to that is I don't care who they're playing. They have to win. If you want any modicum hope of a Big 12 championship, you basically have to win out or maybe win, lose one more there. If you want any hope of playing a better bowl game than last year, they probably have to win everything but one, the next eight or nine.
I'm going to be real honest. I don't think anybody in the world right now cares about a bowl game. You know, another get to a, you know, a decent bowl game. The expectations are too high. Like at this point, now we could get there if this continues to go south, but I don't think at the, on September 25th, I think if you polled 100 KU fans and said, hey, would you be happy playing in the, you know, Pop-Tarts Bowl? They would say, hell no, that's not going to be good enough. Not this year. So, and that's okay, right? That comes with expectations. I'm having a hard time with it. And I like, it's sort of the same story, right? They have been good enough. This should be a 4-0 team. And that's what's so odd about it. And at some point, they just aren't capable of winning games late, and that makes you a not good team. But there's still the possibility that it's a good team who's played really poorly at the end of games. And I only say that because you look at the schedule right now, it's still, we could call it favorable, maybe a little less so than it was, but you get three games here, TCU, Arizona State, Houston. Two of those are at home. Mm-hmm. Up until the K-State, where at the moment you'd play three straight ranked teams, two of those on the road. Can we compartmentalize it and just look at this and say, okay, everything sucks, but if they're 3-1 in the Big 12 going into that K-State game, that would feel pretty good. Also, they're still totally capable of being 3-1 going into that game. I don't think we've seen anything this year that would say those three teams are more talented than KU. They're certainly playing better, but they're not more talented. So then I would ask this, inside that locker room, you can't do any of that if this spirals out of control. Do you think it's spiraling out of control, or is there still a attitude, I guess, or an atmosphere that they could do that? They could win these next three games. Their confidence level is high. Where are we sitting with that aspect of things?
You know, I think it's interesting. I think their confidence level is still high. I think they still believe that they can turn around. I think they still believe that this team has not played up to the expectations they've set on themselves and people have set on them. And they know that, you know, they're a veteran group. If there's any team in the nation that I believe could make a run, you know, and win a couple of games, it's this KU group that's going to have 30 guys leaving after the end of the year. You know, it, to me, like I look at it, if you go back individually, look at the games, and, you know, now we learned that Illinois is not as bad as everyone thought they were. I mean, they beat Nebraska, you know, with all the, you know, hype around them. You know, UNLV, let's withstand that the quarterback just left them last night. That's a whole nother thing. But they're 3-0 too. You know, they're vying for playoff dreams. So, like, they're not as bad losses as we once thought of what they were. But the expect, like, I think I saw this on Twitter. The chance of them losing those three straight games was, like, 0.17. Like, not even, like, 17%. 0.17. Which is nuts, okay? And I think this team knows that they are better than what they've shown on the field. I think they know they're more talented than the next three teams they play. I think they will, you know, they're not going to keep spiraling. I'd be very surprised if they keep losing. Like, I know TCU is a good team. They have a good quarterback, you know. Like, they're not, you know, what they were in 2022. And they're not, you know, maybe where they want to be, but they have a good team with a sophomore quarterback that's threw for 1,500 yards and 11 touchdowns and two interceptions. They don't have a run game, and they have a good pass defense, but a defense that struggles to contain the run. So in ways, KU matches up pretty well with that, right? You know, if this version of Jalen Daniels is out there where, you know, he's only thrown 150, 180 yards a game, then, well, that's fine because TCU only gives up 180, you know, yards, 150 yards per pass or in passing yards in a game. It's where they struggle to contain the run, and they can't establish the run. So I think it starts with Saturday. It starts with a win Saturday, and then I'll get into can they win the next two. Because my issue has been, and I think everyone has done this coming into the season, the expectation of what happened has not lived up to the reality. So I can't even tell you what's going to happen because I thought they were going to beat West Virginia. I thought they were going to bounce back. They were winning that game by 11 points with 5 minutes to go. And they had an absolute, you know, disaster.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Class of a finish. So to me, until I see them close a game, I will not be making any proclamations about this KU team. I need to see them beat TCU. And then after that, we can sit there and go into what are they, where are they going to be? Are they going to be good enough to be K-State?
Well, you know, Sharias, we have talked on this show the last couple of weeks how the defense isn't as bad. You know, I was a little critical of the defense last week. You know, that 10-minute drive, 18 plays, the fourth quarter, the defense is on the field for 10 minutes straight. And, you know, you give up a touchdown that ends up being the touchdown that beats you. And I was a little critical of that because you get off the field. That's what a good defense does. Three and out, get a pick, get a fumble. Who knows what happens, you know, but you get off the field. You get off the field is the sign of a good football team. Once again, let's just talk about the defense in the fourth quarter. West Virginia scored 15 points in the final 3 minutes and 27 seconds. 15 points. They win the game 32-28. Who saw that coming with, you know, 5 minutes left in the ballgame? Who saw that coming? Because I didn't see that coming. And I guess we have to address situational defense for this team because they played well enough to win the game. But what's going on in the fourth quarter with this team? There's got to be something, and I don't know what it is, by the way. I'm just asking you. Maybe you do. I don't know. But what's going on with this defense in the fourth quarter that they can't seem to get off the field?
I don't think this is just a fourth quarter thing. I think it's just ending quarters in a bad way, ending halves in a bad way. We've had three straight weeks now where they've given a touchdown or a scoring play in the end of the first half. And also the fourth quarter. It's clear that, you know, I think it's a lack of maybe a mix of the talent level hasn't played. Like Kobe and Melo have not been as good as last year. They haven't got as many picks as last year. They were getting burnt by a receiver that, you know, had not put up 100 receiving yards up to that point. You know, he had 130 yards or 120 yards, I think, in the first half. That's an issue. The pass rush, you know, is not as good as last year. They're not getting the quarterback. That's putting a lot of pressure at the corners, the safeties. And it feels like they're having to be out there on the field so much more because the offense can't go and sustain these long scoring drives. Like there hasn't been, I feel like, a continuous game where they've had game, you know, long drives that lead to touchdowns. It feels like either it's a touchdown and may it end maybe 5-6 minutes, which is decent. You know, you give a defense a little bit of time to recover, or the offense turns the ball over and the defense is back on, and now they're exhausted because they're playing too much, more than they've ever played. I think this defense is better than last year, but the two things that worry me, and it's the same thing I talked about before the season, was can they get to the quarterback? They haven't really done that great. Can they... You know, like they had three sacks against West Virginia, but they only had two QB pressures outside of that. You know, like the sacks were great, but what happened to getting the quarterback otherwise? Can they contain QBs from running? It seems like they had that figured out against Illinois. They've done a disaster job against UNLV and against, you know, West Virginia. You know, they've let up two straight quarterbacks run for 100 plus yards. That's still a weakness from last year. So you combine that with the secondary not playing as well, and then you have a game like last week where everything just falls apart and combusts because all the problems become apparent more than ever in those last 5 minutes.
Sharias Lotta joining us. You can find his work at the KC Star football and hoops reporter there. You can also follow him on X at SHRE98. Sharias, the other big thing coming into that game was Jalen Daniels. I think, you know, game plan wise, we saw what we wanted to see out of KU. They ran it with their two running backs 36 times. Daniels didn't contribute much in the run game. How do we evaluate his performance? I think I said it yesterday as somebody is like, that wasn't something that he needed to be pulled out of the game for, but it still wasn't vintage Daniels. And against that team, I would say I'm still concerned going into games against good Big 12 defenses, but how did you evaluate Daniels' performance in this one?
Well, I think it's kind of a mixed bag. I was talking to Carter Stanley about this. We actually have a breakdown about Jalen's year, Jalen Daniels' year coming out probably today about what's going good and bad. It's weird because I asked Coach Lance Leipold about this yesterday about if he thinks Jalen took a step forward in the right direction. And I think in some ways he did, right? He cut off a little bit of the turnovers, the fumble, whatever. Like, I'm not really expecting him to pull, some miracle there. It seems like that late fourth quarter drive just hasn't really happened for them this year. But that pick was pretty bad. It's an issue that I think is compounded this year, is like staring down receivers, not seeing coverage underneath a lot of times. It's weird because he only threw for 180 yards against a really bad West Virginia secondary. I know passing yards are not the metric that really matters that much, but that to me is just kind of like this was a game that he probably should have thrown for 200 plus yards. Like, the old Jalen Daniels should have hit 300 yards easy.
But 15 to 25. I mean, if they want to run the ball, which they did, I'm okay with it. It's the 15 to 25. Like peak Jalen Daniels completes 70% of his passes. He hadn't even sniffed that this year. That's like, he's just not accurate.
He's not. And that to me is like, I don't know what the issue is. If that's a fact that the offense is not putting him in the position to succeed in some ways. I think there's been a lack of motion this year a little bit compared to what Andy Coleman had. And that definitely, I think freed up some of his receivers and made it easier for him to pass. But there are some throws that he's been asked to make that I'm like, that's a difficult throw for Patrick Mahomes to make. You go back and you watch the Illinois game, and Carter mentioned this, but he had to roll left as a quarterback and throw it across the shoulders to Luke Grimm, and he gets picked on that. That's a really hard throw, and to be mechanically sound in throws where he's in the like leaning back, and it looks cool, but it leads to mistakes. And I think he's not mechanically been as sound as he was in the previous years. There's definitely, I feel like, a little bit of factor of rust, but I don't think it's a lack of arm strength. I feel like the touch has not been there on passes. I don't think anything more than that. I think that's a big thing. I think he hasn't been reading coverages as well as he normally does. I don't know if that's a rust thing or maybe there's something that is a tell. And I also don't think, the offense has really figured out the balance between run pass yet. Like, there hasn't been a game where I'm like, okay, I think they did a good job of balancing both.
Right.
And they've made his job easier by, running enough that he doesn't need to throw some tough passes. Like, I think he went the entire first half last week without throwing a pass in the middle of the field. That tells to me that's a quarterback that knows he's not at his absolute best. If he can't throw in the middle of the field, which is where Jalen was so dangerous the last 2 years, that is an issue in my mind. And I think this TCU game can balloon out of control real quick because this quarterback that they're facing is really, really good. He's a sophomore. He's throwing for 1,500 yards and 11 touchdowns.
Should be strength on strength. KU does come home as a 2-point favorite. Go to the KC Star. Check out Shreyas' story on a barbershop there in Kansas. Great feature. Also got a mailbag coming, Shreyas. Here we go. They got to get the win. We keep saying the same thing. They got to get the win, and you'll be there covering it for us. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Great job. Great job. Shreyas
Lotta. Yeah, it's always really good stuff. What a wild year for KU football. Shreyas has you covered at the KC Star. Follow him on social media. We'll have more on that throughout the week. We'll preview that game throughout the week as well. Let's take a quick break. When we return, Wichita State Athletics Director Kevin Saul joining us. We'll get all caught up on the Shockers. A lot of hoops tidbits to get to as they're opening things up a little bit. A unbelievable, for some people, story, a massive story in the world of NIL breaking this morning. UNLV's quarterback stepping away. We'll see. We'll get into that in the second hour too.
Paul's
chomping at the bit on that one. All right, we'll come back. Kevin Saul joins Sports Daily when we return.